Hi, I'm Chris Mayo. I'm the technical evangelist for Unified Communications, and this morning we're going to be talking about Exchange 2010 for developers. And with me are Jason and David, talking about some of the APIs. We're going to see a really great demo. So who are you guys, and what do you do for Microsoft?
Great. Thanks, Chris. My name is Jason Henderson, and I am the program manager lead for Exchange Web Services and the Exchange Developer Story. So my team has been focused on coming up and developing this great Exchange 2010 developer story, and really excited to share it with you today. I think there's a lot of new features and a lot of new functionality that developers out there are going to be very excited about. So I just can't wait to get through this and talk to you about what we're doing in Exchange 2010.
Hi, I'm David Klo. I am a program manager in the Exchange Web Services team working with Jason. And as Jason said, we have a very exciting story for you today. The new Exchange 2010 web services are full of new features and a phenomenal new managed API for the .NET developers out there, which provides a rich, easy, and online-ready experience for Exchange 2010 development. And I'm going to be showing you a demo today that showcases most of the functionalities that we have in there.
Okay, great. So let's say that I'm an Exchange developer. I've got a bunch of apps that are running on 2007, 2003. What do I need to know about Exchange 2010 in order to get ready to upgrade my apps?
Sure. So first off, we've started with really taking a step back and really trying to understand what our developers needed most from us to be productive in developing their applications. And what we heard time and time again is that they really need an API which is easy to use, one where they don't have to break out books to understand how it works. It just makes sense. And that really lent itself to, we need a great, rich .NET API. And so we invested in a great managed API, which wraps our web services. We've also heard that richness, that really that Exchange, one of our challenges has been we've got a ton of functionality that we expose in Exchange, but always exposing that functionality in all of our APIs has been a challenge. So what we've done is really unified our focus on the Exchange Web Services API and created that to really be the richest API that we've ever had in Exchange. And not only that, but the easiest API I've ever had in Exchange with the .NET wrappers. And then the third thing is we really saw that making sure that developers were ready for Exchange Online and Microsoft Online. And so we've really taken the focus that our APIs need to be online ready as well. And they are. So those are the three starting points that we pillars that we started with.
Great. So as a developer, I'm not only going to get the ease of use that I need to get started right away, I'm going to get the richness of the platform, of course. So not only can I do something simple and do it quickly, but as I get more skilled and more versed in the APIs, I'll be able to get some of these more complex scenarios. And then, being able to move into the online scenarios, it's a fantastic addition.
Yeah, we think so. In talking about richness, some of the things we've done is really looked at some of the functionality that our developers have asked for years that we haven't had. So, for example, contact groups, the ability to manage your contact groups in Exchange, the ability to add pictures to your contact groups. Now with social networking, wanting to build applications, you actually see who you're communicating with. Right. We've added that in there. Some of the rich functionality that you can use in Outlook Web Access and Outlook, like your categories, master category list, given access to that, and some new functionality that's unique to Exchange 2010. So we've now added the ability to query for rooms in your building as well as to query for buildings. So you can build some great applications where you can imagine location context-aware sensitivity.
Absolutely.
One of the big requests we've gotten time and time again is for a faster search, for a real search using a content-indexed backend as opposed to some of the exchanges typically had a very rich search API, but not one that's extremely efficient. Now we do with 2010. We actually have exposed the ability for you to give us simple sentences like Chris Mayo from : Jason, and we'll do a very fast, very efficient search through an entire mailbox, in fact.
Oh, great. So I can actually do that from the Exchange Web Services
API. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. And through the Exchange Web Services managed API. We're also working really hard. We know developers really expect great scalability, great performance from Exchange. And so we've really spent a lot of time making sure this API scales and it's highly performant so you can really build applications which need to pull down a lot of data quickly or need to manipulate a lot of mailbox data. We know there's a lot of really creative developers out there really looking at ways to leverage that Exchange data. And so we really made some great strides in our scalability and our performance as well.
Great. Yeah, perfect.
So that's a quick overview of the functionality that we've done.
So. Okay, well, let's look at a demo and see this stuff actually in action.
Yeah, so as Jason said, we have that fantastic new AWS Managed API, which is what we're going to be using in the demo that you're going to see now. So the goal here is to show a few of the main new functionalities that we've that we're exposing through that API. Again, I'd like to insist on the richness of the functionality that we expose. As you're going to see, you can do some really cool stuff with very little code, for that matter. And it's also extremely easy in the sense that we wanted any developer to be able to pick up on the new API extremely easily. One of the main drawbacks of the AWS API before the managed API is that auto-generated proxies are generally not easy to use, right, and less advanced developers would have quite a hard time picking it up. With the managed API, it's just as easy as adding a reference in your Visual Studio project and start coding. I mean, yeah, with simple classes, simple concepts. And although we're not going to see code today, this is what's going to be used under the covers. And the final thing that I'd like to insist on is that online readiness, right, of the API. We introduced a great new service with Exchange 2007, which is called Auto Discover. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever configured your Outlook client to connect to your Exchange 2007 mailbox, you've probably seen that it just works. It's right, like magic. You type in your email address. Sometimes you don't even have to do that. And by some magic, Outlook is going to figure out where it needs to connect.
Right.
Well, that service is great, but unfortunately was hard to implement because there are lots of things that need to be done. The good news here is that it's baked inside the AWS Managed API, so you have a full AutoDiscover client that works exactly the same as that of Outlook. And that makes you completely online ready, because if your mailbox is hosted in Exchange, in Outlook.com, what's going to happen is that the managed API is going to let your applications automatically discover the right That's AWS great. URL for your service. And we're going to be using that feature in the demo, and I guess time to show it up.
Yeah, that's a great example, because in 2007 that took a few lines of code.
Absolutely.
And with managed API, it makes it much easier. And being able to bring that to the cloud is a great addition.
Yeah. So this is a calendaring application that we're going to showcase today. Something that's going to allow me to show the calendar of a user who's called Bob, and also to browse the calendar of some other people in Bob's company. So let me type in the credentials. And here, what's happening is that AutoDiscover is actually being executed and figuring out the URL, which is on my test server for the AWS Managed API. And of course, I made a mistake because I did not type something correctly, probably the password. Let's try it again. There we go. So the URL of the Exchange Web Services was automatically discovered, and I'm not lying to you, this is one line of code in the AWS Managed API. So here's the calendar of Bob, and as you can see, there are colors in there. So that's one of the great new things that we've added in Exchange 2010, not only in the Managed API, but in the protocol itself. You have access to user configuration objects, and those user configuration objects allow you, for example, to retrieve the Outlook and Outlook Web Access master category list, which allows you to display things in color when they have categories associated with them. So here we have events on the calendar, and there we go. You have one that I'm going to open here, which showcases the ability to retrieve the details of any item through the managed API. But we can go further than that. What if we wanted to display the calendar of some other user? So I have somebody named Arlene in there that I'm going to select.
So that pop-up list of names you just chose from, that was also from Web Services.
Absolutely. As Jason points out, we have that resolve name functionality in Web Services that allows your application to type in just a partial name. It's going to look against the global address list and resolve the name and make a certain number of suggestions, which you can pick from if you're implementing a GUI application, which is what I just did.
Now, so in this application, all these calls that you're making and that you're talking about, they're all going against the Exchange Web Services
absolutely.
APIs that we're talking about. But what is the UI that I'm seeing here?
So this UI is actually what took me the longest time to implement. This is a WPF application with a calendar control that I'm using and reusing in multiple scenarios. The idea here is that if you have a flexible, reusable control, you can use it in your application wherever you want and only focus on the business logic. And the business logic here is really to retrieve data from the Exchange server via EWS. And
that's an important point, because if you look at this, it looks like, hey, I'm just looking at, you know, Outlook. And what you are is actually looking at, and it's deceptive
absolutely.
Because with the EWS calls, you're getting all the richness of the data in Exchange, so it looks just like Outlook. But I think something important to stress is, yeah, this is a WPF application.
That is correct.
That proves the point that I can get at, as a developer, all that rich information that's within Exchange very easily.
Exactly. And to be honest, we did that on purpose to make it look like Outlook, just to show that you're not that far away from doing that rich kind of end user experience.
Right. And building it into any app.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is just an example with WPF, but you can do the same with WinForms if that's what you're coding against, and other technologies as well. So here we have the calendar of Arlene, and it so happens that we've defined we've added Bob as a delegate on Arlene's calendar, so I can actually open Arlene's meeting right there. EWS will give me access to the details of those meeting items because the user that connected has delegate access to the mailbox.
So delegates and impersonation and all these concepts that we're comfortable with within Exchange, again, they're exposed through the API.
Exactly. The API not only gives you access to items for which you have delegate access rights, but it will also allow you to configure delegate access. So you can, with EWS, add a delegate, remove a delegate, or even modify one, and that in a very easy way through the managed API.
Great. So not only is it calendaring, task management, email, and all that stuff that you associate, but within my application, we can set up or leverage delegate access or delegate relationships
absolutely.
And stuff.
Great. Absolutely. And then if you don't have delegate access, we're going to showcase yet another great feature of the Exchange Web Services, which is the FreeBSD service, which was introduced with Exchange 2007.
Yes.
And that makes retrieving FreeBSD information for various users in your company very reliable and quite fast, for that matter, as you could see it appeared immediately. So the FreeBSD service will just return the start and end time of calendar items and a FreeBSD state. Is it a busy time or is it free time? So that I can actually show it in a calendar without having the actual right to go get the actual information from the calendar. Of course, I can't open these items because that's it. I only have start and end time available.
Mm-hmm.
So here with that calendar control that we just mentioned, we also have all the flexibility that you'd expect, as in showing a view by months, by week, right. by day. We can also close those calendars here. Again, this is really all about creating a rich user experience that could work outside of the context of an EWS-connected application.
Right.
Here we're just choosing to use that control to show EWS information, Exchange information.
I think one of the great things we haven't really talked about is, you know, customers often look at us and say, oh, it's great you have calendar functionality, but what about recurring meetings? What about all that complexity with
exactly.
that I used to have to do with MAPI? And you're just handling recurring meetings just like really any other meeting.
Absolutely. So we're doing that completely transparently for you, so not only is it easy to create recurring meetings, but it's extremely easy to retrieve a series of meetings without even having to understand the complexity or the algorithm that's necessary to calculate each of these occurrences. Like what you see in the calendar on the left is really a find items call for appointments using the managed API, saying I want all the appointments between two dates, and that's going to retrieve all the occurrences of recurring meetings. It's as simple as that.
Awesome.
So let me show you something additional here, which is a cool way to schedule a meeting. Say I wanted to schedule a meeting with Arlene and Elizabeth, and I wanted to do that this week. generally, what you want to do is retrieve availability information, FreeBSD information for those users, and try and pick a time that works for everyone.
Right.
Well, in this demo, we're using the FreeBSD service again, but most precisely the meeting suggestion service, which already exists in Exchange 2007, but which is put forward in this demo against Exchange 2010. This functionality allows you to retrieve meeting time suggestions for a given set of users within 2 dates. So here I can see that only for Bob, which is the organizer, there are lots of free spots which appear in green, and some other spots that are not so good that appear in yellow. And I'm going to go ahead and add Arlene, if I can spell correctly, to the list of attendees, and I'm going to do the same with Elizabeth. And as you can see, the suggestions are refreshed, and now we have some orange suggestions, which means that they're not so good. Like, for example, here I know that there are no one free at that time, whereas on that yellow meeting, we have one of the three attendees available. Green is what I'm looking for, and we're going to select a room list here, which is really a building, and Jason mentioned that at the beginning of this video. We have that new service introduced in Exchange 2010 that allows AWS to retrieve a list of all the buildings, or as we call them, room lists, within your organization. And within all of these room lists, we have the ability to return all the rooms. So here, I want to set up a meeting that's in the building, in building one. So really, that's why I selected that. Now I just can go ahead and pick a free time, something that will work for everyone. And I'm confident that's going to be the case because the application has done all the calculations internally to guarantee that a green spot is what I need. So I'm just going to double-click on that. Say this is a test meeting. Sorry for not being more creative than that. And then I'm going to select a free room. And I know it's a free room. Why? Because I said it has to be in that building. And again, using the FreeBSD service, I was able to retrieve the FreeBSD information for all the rooms in that building and only select those that actually had available time at the time that I selected. So let me just go ahead and click this one. Say hello in the body, and schedule the meeting. And that's as simple as that. And again, using various AWS functionality, we were able to implement an application that shows calendar information, that allows you to display detailed information for calendar information, expand recurring meetings, resolve names against the global address list, and schedule meetings using the FreeBSD service, the Get Rooms list feature, and the Get Rooms. We're very excited about this release. Lots of power in there. It's just up to you now to harness it in your own applications.
And that was a great demo from the perspective that since you're just using a calendar control in a WPF app, you know, a lot of people associate a lot of the functionality that they see within Outlook, like the FreeBSD service and being able to find rooms and stuff like that, they associate it with some magic that Outlook's doing. Yeah. But it's actually something that's in Exchange that you can leverage from your own app. So you could take this calendaring control and you could build it into your application. You could build in task lists and assignments and all that stuff through Exchange Web Services. So I think there's a subtle point of the demo that I think was really worthwhile is that you've got all this richness of not only data, like, you know, I've got Bob's calendar, but you can also take Bob, Arlene and Elizabeth and the rooms that are available and actually put those all together just by using the FreeBSD service in order to schedule a meeting directly from your app. So that's a subtle point that I think is worth mentioning.
I think it's a great point, Chris. And I think one of the big focuses with web services in general has been let's push this business logic out of Outlook, out of the applications, and into Exchange. Exchange is great at consolidating business logic like recurrence expansions or FreeBSD look at the meeting suggestions. And there's no reason for every developer to have to implement that functionality in their application. And you know what David is able to show is really a couple lines of web services code and a whole lot of UI code. He could do some really amazing, you know, just really compelling, exciting scenarios that we're really looking forward to. And I think, you know, you think of the richness of what that data, what we provide there, and then the ease of use. I don't know, David, off the top of your head, if you remember how many lines of code, EWS code. But
There's probably at most 20 lines of code actually talk to EWS in that demo.
And so the rest of it's UI,
yes.
Right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, the WPF stuff, great.
You know, I think it's, David's kind of gives you a good proof of concept concept, but we've got a number of applications out there that are using web services today. Certainly, everybody knows that Outlook uses Exchange Web Services, but Office Communicator is also using Exchange Web Services. The Mac Entourage release is actually completely web service based. They had three different stacks, including WebDAV, a little bit of MAPI, and a little bit of some other APIs, and we've actually completely removed those and moved over to web services, and I think they've really been excited with that, how they're pushing that business logic to Exchange. They can get out of that business of having to implement all that. And then, of course, we've had some other applications out there, too. The recent Apple Mail client and Calendar client are also using web services. And then Project Server 2010 is doing task synchronization using web services as well. So it's really great, really, to show that web services is out there to stay. We're making some significant investments in it in 2010.
Perfect. And it's great as a developer for me to always see, when I'm looking at it, at a Microsoft API, to see that Microsoft is eating their own dog food and they're building apps on top of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can trust my investment because you guys are obviously, you know, the Exchange team made the investment yourselves, right?
That's right.
Great. Okay. So what's next? I've seen the demo. I understand there's this rich API with all these rich services within Exchange that I can get at as a .NET developer. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested in Exchange 2010 and doing some dev work. What do I do next to learn more?
Sure. So we've got a number of talks coming up. We've actually got 6 talks coming up in the next couple of weeks. And we're really focusing them on how do you learn what you need to know to either create your new application or migrate your old application. And I think migration is really going to be important with Exchange 2010. We've removed a number of our legacy APIs. We started this deprecation plan with Exchange 2007 with introducing web services and letting people know that applications or APIs like WebDAV, CDO, Exchange OLADB, we're going to be going away. And they have. We've removed those APIs along with store events from Exchange 2010. And so our first talk, we're going to be drilling into how do you migrate your application to Exchange Web Services, and really, again, the goal of the Managed API, make it easy for you to pick up and just migrate your application very quickly. And inside of Microsoft, we've been doing that, actively migrating all of our applications off of these various APIs. And it's really gone very well.
Great.
So we're expecting customers have the same experience. So that will be the first talk, the migrating to Exchange Web Services. Then we're going to have a drill down in AutoDiscover, and David's going to talk about how does AutoDiscover really work, how does it work under the covers. It's an incredibly powerful API that is leveraged by every product that consumes Exchange. And there is a number of kind of undocumented kind of hidden tips and tricks of how to get it to work. So he's going to talk through that and really open the hood and drill down there.
Because even if it's really easy, it's always nice to know what's going on underneath. In case you have to debug or
absolutely
work configuration
or configuration, and we expect that there'll be those applications out there that can't use managed code for whatever reason.
Right.
And so we'll show you how it works, so you can actually go implement your own.
Okay.
Impersonation and delegation, we've had those since 2007, but they're always important, and especially with the changes that we're making, so that your applications no longer run on the mailbox server as they did with 2003, made it easy to deploy, but actually very difficult to ensure good uptime, good scalability if you're running applications on your mailbox server. And so our new architecture has been to move those applications off the mailbox server, off the client access server, and onto your application server. And so we're going to talk about how you set up impersonation and delegation to give you permissions to these mailboxes. And really, we made some really, really exciting changes in how we do impersonation in Exchange 2010. We're now using our role-based access check model, which is the same model we're using for all of administration of Exchange. And just makes it much easier to define scopes of users that are able to access mailboxes.
So my application could, let's say, you know, for productivity kind of thing, if I've got something that I do in my application that requires a follow-up 2 weeks from now, it could actually impersonate me and drop a task on the Exchange task list and assign it 2 weeks from today. Mm-hmm. And the code running on the app server, if it had permission to impersonate me, could do that directly.
Absolutely. That's a great example of what happens with Project Server today, where Project Server is able to go off and update tasks in any number of users, hundreds of users' mailboxes, and have those sync seamlessly down to Outlook. So that's exactly the model that you use today.
Perfect. And then I'll see them on my phone when I exchange my phone and all that stuff. So
Great. It is. We're going to have a deep dive into the managed API. David's going to really drill in to show you some code, not just pretty UI, but actually show you how simple it really is at the code level. And then we're going to go and talk about notifications. And notifications there's really a lot of rich scenarios that our partners have built around that, as well as with the removal of store events. It's really important that customers understand what notifications can do, can't do, and really how to leverage them to build applications that do a asynchronous processing of mails that are arriving or calendars that are being updated. And the final one is really an exciting talk, and we're going to have our developer lead, Rosamund Mathias, talk about building scalable web services applications. And so this is really tips and tricks, best practices to building a highly scalable web application, one that you know is not going to put undue load on your client access server or mailbox server, one where you won't have customers or IT or your mailbox guy coming back to you and saying, what are you doing against my server? You know that you followed the best practices and are actually able to implement an application which uses as few resources as possible, right, keeping the TCO of your exchange as low as possible. So really excited about that series of talks, and that will be really drill into the details of developing against Exchange 2010.
Great. Okay. So that's what's new with developing with Exchange 2010. I'll have links to all those webcasts within the Channel 9 post to this video, and it'll provide some links to some different resources. So you can, you know, check out this video, check out those webcasts, and then grab the API and get started migrating your apps to 2010. So thanks, Jason. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.